Welcome to the Monogamous Marriage Podcast. We're Kate and Liam, married bisexuals a decade into our non-monogamous journey.
We've been having sex with our friends for 10 years, and we're still madly in love with each other.
We're the authors of the Monogamous Marriage blog, where we've been overthinking sex and love since 2016. This podcast is the place where we process our sexual adventures in real time.
We are not experts, and nothing we say should be mistaken for professional advice. This show contains mature language and sexual content, so if you're under 18, it isn't for you. But if you're a fellow overthinker and you're not freaked out by unfiltered conversation, you're going to feel right at home.
Lifestyle travel is a big deal for us. It's an escape from the day-to-day and an opportunity to get together with like-minded people and truly be ourselves in an environment where it's all non-monogamous people. So originally, that meant going to Hedonism and Desire. And you know, we did an episode that was one of our most popular ever last year, comparing Hedo and Desire. And if you haven't listened to that, check it out. But you know, as a couple, we've kind of moved on since then.
Yeah, after 12 trips to Hedo and 4 to Desire, I feel like I'm kind of over the go to a place and sit on a beach and get drunk every day and have a late night party every night. I mean, it's fun, but I've kind of seen that show and moved on.
Yeah, and part of the problem is you're really rolling the dice every time because the vacation is all about the people you'll be with. And yes, we're more likely to find people we like at Hedo or Desire than we are at Sandals or Secrets, but it's just not the same as traveling with like-minded people.
So what we've decided is we are never just going to buy a room at Hedo or Desire again. We are always going to try to take a trip with a group where we know that we're going to have something in common with the other attendees.
So for the last couple of years, that has meant going to events put on by groups of people that we really trust. And this year was probably the pinnacle of that concept. Because every single month for the first 6 months of 2023, we did a trip exactly like that. And so I thought it'd be fun for people who follow along with our adventures just to talk about what that was like and the events we went to.
So it all started in January with the Naughty Jim ski trip to Gatlinburg in the Smoky Mountains. And this was billed as a ski trip, even though when we got there, there wasn't much snow.
That's climate change for you.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, it's Tennessee. So what did we expect?
True. Geography played a role too.
But Scott and April from Naughty Jim booked a fantastic giant log cabin on the side of the mountain. And I think we had 15 couples there.
Yes. And so I had an experience that was unprecedented in my lifestyle journey. It started with noticing a woman at an event the day before, flirting with her a little bit, and then talking to you in the pool one of the evenings, because there was a pool right inside our villa. I looked back over my shoulder and saw her standing alone. It turned out that her husband was separated from her, and she looked actually a little lonely. So I said to you, I'm just going to go and talk to her for a moment. And you and I had already discussed that I had some permission to maybe explore something independently with her. So I talked to her, and it was a really interesting, super arousing discussion, because we started to talk, and at one point, she put her hand on my arm. That was nice. I put my hand on her arm. She moved her hand to my hip. I moved my hand to her hip. And before long, she had told me that I was looking good. I told her that she was looking good, and she was touching my cock. I was so aroused. So I said to her, I don't know if you and your husband play separately, but if you do, I'd love to have some time alone with you. And she said, let me go check with him. So she did and came back to say that while they don't play separately, I guess he had told her that was not something he was comfortable with. She loves the idea of an MMF threesome, two men, one woman, and they would like it if I joined them in their room. So I went back, talked to you, and they went up to their room, and I followed pretty quickly thereafter.
And I had no idea any of this was going on because I had my back to you while I was going down on Mrs. Dubdonate at the other end of the pool.
Right. And if you're not on Twitter and you're thinking, Mrs. Dubdonate, what kind of ethnicity is that? That just happens to be the name of a couple, one of whom comes from Dublin and the other comes from London. So the young woman and her husband went up to the room. After I spoke with you, I followed up, and what proceeded to happen was one of the most efficient sexual encounters of my entire life. So when I got into the room, they were already naked, standing side by side. I thought to myself, oh, okay, this is on. I took off my clothes. I joined them. We did all the moves three people can come up with in a sexual situation. She was on her knees, gave me oral, gave him oral, looked me in the eye, looked him in the eye. We went to the bed, front, back, from behind. And eventually, they had their first double penetration ever. So I was the guy in the front. Her husband was the guy in the back. And it felt amazing for me to be a part of that.
Meanwhile, I was downstairs and expecting that you would be gone for a couple hours, as is your wont. And you came down like half an hour later and I was like, haven't you gone up yet?
We were remarkably efficient. It was like McKinsey and Company had come up with a protocol for maximizing pleasure in the minimum amount of time for three people. But reflecting on it later, I realized that as great as that threesome had been, the real highlight for me was that time in the pool, walking over to her in complete uncertainty about the outcome, gradually seeing the level of connection, the level of interest, the level of arousal rise until I made a proposition. She came back with a counter proposition. And that process was so exciting for me that even a threesome, even a couple's first double penetration couldn't compare with it.
Okay. Well, my sexual highlight from that trip was a little bit different. It was also a multiple person situation that was separate from you, but it was much more long and drawn out. I think mine lasted maybe 3 hours.
Sounds right.
It started with a lot of flirtation between me and a guy named Steve, who has a phenomenally gorgeous wife, who I was also very interested in. Anyway, so I had been flirting with her husband throughout the week. And at one point he said, I have permission from my wife to have some separate time with you. And I said, okay, great, let's go. And we went up to the living room and I was, you know, on my knees in front of him, going down on him. He was fingering me. And then he fell asleep on the couch and I was joined by the dubbed on eights. And when they saw that he was asleep, they were like, hey, do you want to come and join us? So they got involved. I, you know, masturbated on the floor beside Mrs. Dubbed on Eight. I got fucked by her man. We were doing all this stuff. And then Steve woke up again. So it had been a long day. There had been some drinking and other things that were consumed.
Yeah, this was the day of the hike, was it not? The spectacular hike through the Smoky Mountains.
Right, which yes. He led.
Yeah, so no wonder he was struggling to stay awake, even with your incredible beauty.
Well, I think it was more about the substances that had been consumed.
Okay, that could have been a factor too.
Anyway, so he came to and, you know, I fucked him some more on the couch and then we went downstairs to the play area and got a bed and we fucked there for a while. And then, you know, we took a break and he fell asleep again and I used my vibrator and then he came back too and he fucked me some more. It was the most interesting sexual experience I've had in a long time, just because there was this strange ebb and flow of the energy as, you know, he would, you know, get his energy back and fuck me again. I think he stayed hard even when he was sleeping.
Yeah, he's a pretty incredible human being in so many ways. Such an interesting person with a fascinating outlook on life and philosophy.
Yeah, so it was fun. It was definitely a story worth telling. And at like 3 a.m, his wife came down and was like, are you done? I'm waiting for you upstairs. And he's like, but wait, I haven't come yet. And I'm like, you better go.
Right. Well, and what you were doing was handing him back to an exceptionally beautiful woman. So it's not like he's a person to feel sorry for.
Oh, no. He's got a good life.
So that was our January trip to Gatlinburg. The Naughty Gym people, Scott and April, put together a phenomenal itinerary. We're just telling you a fraction of what happened. But our next trip was in February with Room 77, Richard and Lauren at Isla Mujeres. They had taken over an entire hotel. In fact, the event was so popular, they had another 20% of the hotel next door. And it was really an incredible gathering of a very different kind of people, larger than the Naughty Gym group, but also a more party-like atmosphere, which Richard and Lauren are so amazing at putting together.
Yeah. And for me, the sexual highlight was meeting a brand new couple that we had never met before, Mrs. Sophia Nunez on Instagram and Twitter. And she was an OnlyFans creator as well. So we got talking about it and I said, do you want to do a photo shoot together? So one day we went down the beach and found a private spot where we could be naked and our husbands took some photos and video. And at first I wasn't sure if it would go beyond this kind of creative collaboration. But obviously, you know, when you've got two hot women pretending to play for the camera and authentic play breaks out.
Yes. And not a surprise too, because these are two really fantastic human beings. They come from the American South, very far from where we live in the Canadian North. But a real meeting of the minds happened, which started from just a simple collaboration when you both found out that you're on OnlyFans.
Yeah. So the next day was her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So her husband came to us and said, I have a request. I know that Sophia is dying to do some sort of, you know, blindfolded sensory situation. So he didn't tell her what was happening. He blindfolded her up in their room, brought her down to our room, and we were there with another couple. And so she came in with her blindfold on, her husband led her to the bed, and she just lay down. And me and the other woman spent, I don't know, 20 minutes just gradually touching her, kissing her, licking her all over. She did not know who was in that room. She didn't know who was touching her, but she trusted her husband enough to go with it. And eventually her blindfold came off and then the six of us had an amazing six-some together.
Yeah. And it was a second chapter in terms of our connection with James and Sheena, who we had met at another Room 77 event last year. So we already had some sexual chemistry. And now that we're in this six-some situation, the flow was very natural and easy. You had all the momentum with Sophia and her husband from the day before the photo shoot. We were seeing James and Sheena and continuing a conversation, a sexual conversation that had started a year earlier. And the whole afternoon was just spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a sexual highlight from that Mexico trip?
My sexual highlight was your sexual highlight, actually.
It was a good afternoon.
Yeah, what started as yours became mine. So thank you. In March, we actually did something different. So we didn't go away with a group, but a couple who we know on Twitter and have come to know personally and become very close to, the Honey Spoons, we went to their ski chalet at Mount Trombone, just outside of Montreal. And they brought along another couple, and guess who it was?
Dubbed on eights.
They just keep popping up. And
we like them.
We're happy about that. And so that, I think, underscores something that happens in these trips, is that you start to see people again who you know from previous adventures. And so a longer term connection evolves. And, you know, if you're just going to Hedo and you say, oh, I'd love to see you again to a couple that you've met there, well, you'd have to book at the exact same time to get together, and schedules don't always line up. But we find with these events that are so well publicized, they focus people's attention on being in that one place at that one time. And the likelihood you're going to see people again and again is so much higher than if you went to Hedo and Desire, which are great. But if you went there on your own, you're really rolling the dice in terms of who you're going to see.
Yeah. So we've made our best friends through these kinds of events where you see them over and over again. So at every PCAP, you end up seeing some of the same people. At every Room 77 event, the same people show up, and obviously with a lot of turnover. But yeah, so that's really the benefit we've found from these trips. So both Honey Spoon and the Dubbed on Eights were first introduced to us at PCAP Miami in 2020.
One. 2021.
Anyway, so we went to their chalet. We went skiing. We went to the Scandinav Spa.
And we had a Scandinav scandal when we went to the Scandinav Spa.
Yeah, you're supposed to be silent at these spas to, you know, promote relaxation and a blissful Zen kind of experience. But of course, for six swingers, you can't be silent for a couple hours. So we were in the hot tub, we were laughing and joking. And at one point, one of the employees came over and actually turned off the waterfall.
Right. Yeah. And the jets in the hot tub. So the silence was deafening. And we looked up like guilty school children at the teacher. And she proceeded to give us a little speech about the sanctity of the silence. And so chastened, we nodded and she turned the jets back on. And then as soon as she was out of sight, we proceeded to just get right back to talking.
Laugh our heads off.
Yeah. But we were a little more whispery, I think, after that.
Yeah. And then we went back to the chalet and had a six-sum both nights. We had amazing dinners out in the Tremblant village. And it was just one of those wonderfully easy, flowing kinds of weekends where we love these people socially and intellectually and also sexually. And it was just a beautiful, fluid time.
Right. And it really plays up in all of these vacation situations, the difference from a sex club experience where you go and to the backbeat of very loud music, try to make some connection with somebody new or even continue with someone that you know and make some kind of sexual magic happen in maybe 2 hours on the dance floor. Whereas on these trips, you have days to build up that level of intimacy and comfort and even sexual interest in each other so that the sex is emerging more organically between four or six or however many people.
Mm-hmm. So our next trip was in April and we went to the Casual Swingers Week at Hedo. And this was a last minute decision. You know, we had looked at our calendar in advance and thought, wow, this is just way too full. We cannot make it to that week at Hedo. But at that weekend in Tremblant, both the couples we were with were going to be at the Hedo week and they really worked us over.
Right. And so then I contacted Mickey and Mallory of Casual Swingers and worked them over saying, I know it's so late. Like it's literally a week and a half before the event, but can you possibly squeeze us in? And they are such an amazing couple that they said, yes, they worked it out within a day or so. And we got to be a part of that event.
So even though we had been to Hedonism 11 times before and I had kind of sworn off it, I walked away from our 11th trip saying, okay, well, that's enough. I've seen the Hedo show. I'm done with it. Let's move on. Knowing the people that were going to be there, I thought, okay, I would follow this group of people anywhere.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where they're meeting up. I want to be with them.
And once you have a great group like that, Hedo becomes a different place. So you remember, oh yeah, the beach is like world class and the playrooms are out of this world and the entertainment is one of a kind. But now you combine that with a self-selected group of really interesting people who love life and are open-minded. And it really was one of the best trips we've ever been on. Certainly a total re-experiencing of hedonism, a resort that we knew so well.
Yeah. So my sexual highlight on that trip was on the catamaran cruise.
Oh.
Well, actually, I've got a couple.
Okay. It's our podcast. You can do two, actually, if you want.
All right. So on the catamaran cruise, you know, you go out and you're drinking the whole time and then you do some snorkeling and the swimming through the caves. And then on the way back, there's more drinking and it tends to get a little more rowdy. So at one point, Mickey and Mallory did a game where they brought out a bunch of little mini wands and had a vibrator rodeo. So they asked for couples to volunteer and most of them were heterosexual couples. But Miss Honey Spoon, at first she was going to be my partner and then Trist from the Sweet Life podcast was kind of pulled into that situation. So,
and when Trist from the Sweet Life podcast, I don't know if you've ever seen her, when she says, so I would like to partner with you, you don't say no and you don't take it personally if that means that the person you want to be with can't be with you.
Oh, hell no. Go get that.
Yes.
But we were there with another couple who are friends of ours from close to our home. So I grabbed her. So we had two girl-girl couples in this lineup of maybe eight couples. And they gave us each a wand. And then we had like 3 minutes to put on the best show we could. And I think we're at opposite ends of this line of people.
Yes. And that explains why so many of the men were wearing neck braces the next day, because their heads were just whipping, swiveling back between Mrs. Honeyspoon and Trist from the Sweet Life podcast, and then over to you and your friend.
Who used to be married to a woman.
I know.
And is an Ironman competitor. So she has like the most perfect body and a lot of lesbian cred.
Yes. And so, so it was like a death match. And of course, the couples in between, I was in the audience, the couples in between were interesting in their own right to watch. But so many of us were interested in those two same sex couples at either end of the lineup, and you gave it all you had.
Oh yeah. We put on a clinic. There was all kinds of riding. I was on the top. I was on the bottom. At one point, the towel moved from under her back and I was on top scissoring her with the vibrator between us on our clits, and her back was getting scraped raw on the deck.
But she's an Ironman competitor. But that she kind was of just discomfort like,
yeah,
is nothing.
She's not going to stop for anything. Right. If there's a competition, she's going full on for it. So at the end, we were the two, these two girl-girl groups were the finalists, and then we had to go against each other. And it was a narrow loss, but we lost to Honeyspoon and Trist. And, you know, like, I don't blame anybody for that. They're hot as fuck.
As they like to say, the true winners were the audience, because we saw a show that was just spectacular.
Yeah.
And there was a second thing you said.
Right. Yeah. So we spent 3 nights in a row in the playrooms. And the Hedo playrooms are awesome. Like, you are not going to find a better playroom situation at any resort. They're under the stars. They've got a great fetish room set up with a spanking bench and a St. Andrew's cross and a swing. And so we spent the first 2 nights in that room in the kind of dungeon area. And at one point, I was in the swing and I got fucked by 3 different guys. I just stayed there with my legs up on the chains and just kind of like waved in the next person when the first one was done. So it was Mr. Honeyspoon, Locke from the Sweet Life podcast, and then you, I think, were my finisher. So it's not like I was just waving in random strangers. They were all people I was familiar with and friends with. But that was fun. That was a big highlight for me. Did you have a sexual highlight?
Of course I did. On that same night, we were kind of moving around the playroom area because it's so large. And I ended up at one point in the arms of, there she is, recurring character, Mrs. Dubdon 8. And we have known each other for, I'm going to say 2 years, but had somehow never had sex. So we've fooled around. We've been in sexy situations. We've kissed a lot. But there we were. It was me and her. And, you know, sometimes you see someone and think, oh, this is going to be good when we finally get together. But I can't tell you how fantastic it was. Like, I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to marry her. But it was one of my best lifestyle experiences. And it happened completely by accident, just because the deck got shuffled and our two cards ended up very close to each other at just the right moment. At least that's how it seemed to me. I know she's going to listen to this. I hope it was the same for her.
Okay. So that was April at Hedo. In May, we went to PCAP in Portland.
So PCAP stands for Podcastapalooza. It's basically a gathering of people like us who are communicators in the non-monogamous space, putting on seminars as a kind of catalyst for a broader lifestyle get together over 3 or 4 days in a very interesting city. They've had them in Miami, in Palm Springs, in Dallas, and this one was in Portland.
Yeah. So we spoke on the 3-hour sex date. That's what our seminar was.
Right. Which, if you haven't listened to our podcast called Sexual Fantasies, that's all about 3-hour sex date.
Right. And since then, we've had 6 or 7 couples reach out to us and say, we did the 3-hour sex date based on your seminar or your podcast, and it was amazing.
Which, by the way, is an idea of Kim Anami's. It's not our original thought.
Sure.
We just made it fantastic.
Right. And we had our own 3-hour sex date with another couple at PCAP. And that was my sexual highlight.
Yes. As I've mentioned, these events are great for bringing people together and then back together. So we had originally met that couple next door, Jay and Kay, long-term podcasters, at the original first PCAP in New York City in 2018.
Yeah. And they have since moved across the country and live in the Pacific Northwest. And so we haven't seen them in a while. I guess we see them on average once a year on a trip.
Yeah, we've managed to see them at Desire a couple of times, but it had been a long time. And so when we found out we were both speaking at the same event, we were really excited.
So I have great sexual chemistry with both of them, with Jay especially. And so we, on our first night there, because we were already close with them, we had already played with them, we said, let's just get the play out of the way on the first night so that we can be free to pursue other connections as the weekend goes on.
Talk about a chore.
Yeah, it was so hard. So we had them back to our room and we were there for 3 hours like the most, I think it was maybe the most perfect foursome of all time.
Right. And again, to continue a theme, which if you haven't picked it up from our podcast, I am the slowest moving swinger in all of swingerdom. So I think this was my very first time having sex with Kay. I fooled around with her. We've been in all kinds of sexy situations, but somehow the penis and vagina situation just never seemed to happen in the past until this time.
Right.
And again, so maybe there's something to say about waiting. All you horny guys and girls out there that, you know, rush to the main event, I'm here to tell you, just take your time, because like with Mrs. Dubdon 8, my experience with Kay, after all that buildup, years of flirting and touching, was again spectacular.
Yeah, she kept saying, Liam, why haven't we done this before? Oh my God, why haven't we done this before? She was really loving your cock.
And I think her husband, Jay, was loving seeing me with her, just as I had loved seeing him with you back in, I'm going to say, 2021?
At Desire.
At Desire.
Right. Yeah, so that night, that 3-hour foursome, which we got video of, and it's on OnlyFans if you want to see it.
I forgot.
It was so amazing that the next day, Jay came to me and he said, why would we bother having sex with other people when we had such a good time with you guys? So that second night, I went to their room as a unicorn because you thought, you know, mic drop, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead here.
That is so me. I'm such an Enneagram 3, so obsessed with the impression that I make on other people, just trying to get it right, that when I have an amazing sexual experience, when I feel like I've been my best self with another person or people, my immediate instinct is to not do anything that could endanger the good impression I've just made. So I was very happy to send you back to be the unicorn for this fantastic couple.
Yeah. So we had another at least 2 hours of amazing sex together. So that was certainly the highlight of that PCAP weekend. But when the weekend finished, our sexual exploits were not over.
No, because when Jay said to you, why would we have sex with anyone else? Well, the obvious answer was we were in a hotel with dozens and dozens of super sexy couples, many of whom we had known for a long time, some of whom we had just met. And one of those couples we made an arrangement with on the very last day. It was too late to do something at PCAP, but not too late for the four of us because we were staying in the Pacific Northwest.
And they lived in Portland. So they invited us to their house. They made us a beautiful dinner with a lot of fresh ingredients from their fabulous garden.
Yes.
And they were very new to the lifestyle. And we had a soft swap with the two of them on a mattress on the floor in their living room.
Right.
With their dog who kept putting his nose in.
People often think of soft swap as a way station on the journey to full swap, which is the ultimate. And there's nothing wrong with full swap sex with another couple. But I hadn't even remembered that we didn't have that full experience with them, because that soft swap thing, which is, if you don't know, just sharing maybe oral sex and touching without having full sexual contact.
Right. So that was a really fun little bonus from the PCAP weekend, which was in so many ways fantastic.
Yes, and it's worth pointing out that Kate from Wanderlust Swingers, who puts together the PCAP events, puts so much attention to detail into every aspect of the trip. If you have a chance to go to a PCAP event, and now I think they regularly sell out well in advance. But if you can get in on them, there's one in Miami this fall. There's one in Montreal in December. And there will no doubt be more coming in 2024. Just get in on it. We've been to every single one of them. We would not miss one because magic happens at those events.
Yeah. So let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about the pinnacle of our travel season. And that was our very own trip to Crete.
We'll be right back. The interesting thing about doing a podcast is it seems to be all about communication, but all the communication is in one direction. It's from us to you. And we are actually the kind of people who like to hear from others. So there are two ways to do that. The first is to connect with us in person at an event.
We are going to be at Libertines Carnival Miami, October 20th to 23rd, and their Soiree event in Montreal, December 8th to 10th. So if you are a PCAPper and you are going to be at one of those events, we would love to have a conversation with you there.
Yes, and I believe they're both sold out, but there may be a day pass option available. So go to the link in the show notes and you'll be able to find out how to do that. We're also in 2024 going to be at Naughty Jim's Be Better at Being Bad event at Hedo. But we'll provide more details on that as we get closer to the event date.
You can also contact us online. We're on Twitter at Monogamish1, Instagram at The Monogamish Marriage. We have our blog at www.themonogamishmarriage.com.
And you can also find us on OnlyFans. So I am under the name Liam_Landon, and Kate is under the name Kate Monogamish, all one word.
You could also just old-fashioned email us at themonogamishmarriage@gmail.com. We'll check that one once in a while.
I check it every day.
All right.
So thank you. We look forward to hearing from you. And now, back to the Monogamish Marriage Podcast. So these trips that we went on were amazing. Put on by Naughty Jim, Room 77, Casual Swingers, and PCAP. So anyone listening to our discussion would say, those trips are fantastic. Why would you want to try anything else? Everything is there. But you actually felt like there was an opportunity to do something different with the idea of lifestyle travel. And I wonder if you can just remind me where the idea came from.
Well, I think it came from the fact that we would frequently do at least two trips a year. So one would be a lifestyle trip where we expected we would be on a beach, and one would be a European trip where it would be just the two of us going to a destination in Europe where we would see art and historical stuff and enjoy the food. And I thought, what if we could combine those two things? Do we always have to have lifestyle events on a beach? Could we do something different? And when we went to the first Naughty Jim takeover in Montana in the mountains, I thought, this is it. So on that first Naughty Jim trip in Montana, there were 15 couples. And I thought, this is kind of the perfect size because you get an opportunity in the 5 to 7 days to really have great conversations with all of those people. And it's a manageable group so that you can go out and do excursions and day trips, but also all stay in the same space and have access to each other when the nighttime comes and you start wanting to have some sort of play interaction. So I thought, what if we did this kind of size and a special focus? So just like Naughty Jim does fitness and, you know, outdoorsy stuff, what if we did a focus on the European experience, the art and the history and the culture and the food and wine with open-minded lifestyle people? Could we arrange something like that? And so I started searching. I looked at all kinds of different locations and different villas and chateaus. And ultimately, we decided to start in Crete.
And so what made Crete so special?
Well, we had been to Crete. It was, I think, our first European getaway together.
Yes.
And the reason we chose to go there was because I was researching a book that I would eventually write on the history of Crete, on the Minoans. So not only had we visited Crete personally, but I had done tons of reading and research on the history of this island. And it has everything. It has gorgeous beaches, it's got mountains, it's got vineyards, and amazing food and wine, and olive oil, and the history is just out of this world.
And it's off the beaten path. So it's not Paris, it's not London, it's not Rome, it's not Athens.
Yeah, and it's a Greek island without a lot of the Greek island prices. So if you go to Santorini, you're going to pay three times as much to be there because it's a little more famous. And Santorini's lovely, you should definitely go. But Crete is more rugged, it's more accessibly priced, and there's just more to do. It's a much bigger island.
And you were able to find the ideal accommodations, a villa with 12 rooms.
Yeah, 12 suites.
Yes, 12 suites that we could treat as our own hotel for a week.
Yeah, so each suite had its own kitchen and little like dining area. Some of them had a loft with a second bed up top so that people could have a play space that was separate from their sleeping space. And it had a big central kitchen and eating area where we could all converge, and obviously a pool where we could be naked. And it was out in the countryside, out on a hilltop, so there was some privacy.
So that was a lot of research on your part. What you've summarized in just a couple of minutes took, it seems to me, like months of looking at different countries. Then once you had focused in on Crete, different places that we could stay. And then once we knew where we were staying, different excursions that made sense from that location and different eating options.
Yeah. But of course, the most important thing is the people.
Yes.
And we were just floored with the amazing people that came to us with interest in this trip. So three of the couples who came were people we knew already. So the aforementioned Dubdon 8, and then a couple of our other friends. And then the rest of the people were just podcast listeners who reached out and said, we love your podcast. We like your style. We think that we would be a good match for a trip like this.
And interestingly, we also heard from a lot of people who said, I can't believe it. This is a trip of my dreams, but my daughter is moving to Africa to go on a mission, or my son is getting married. And so there was this other large group of people who were validating the idea, but just weren't able to make it for the specific time that you had planned for this first trip.
Yeah, so ultimately we went with nine couples. Two of those couples were professors. One was a doctor. We had all kinds of fascinating people who all got along really well because their primary focus wasn't just on being like down to fuck. They really wanted to have an intellectual and social connection. So one of the dangers on our trip was that we would just get talking and just keep talking late into the night, and then sex wouldn't happen because we'd be too tired.
Right. But if you've ever been on a boring vacation to Sandals or Secrets, you know that even talking alone is a fantastic achievement. Whereas with us, that was a given. We knew this group of people had a lot to share with each other.
Yeah, so we had lots of opportunity to talk. So we had a private bus and driver, and there were four different day trips. So each of those day trips gave us an opportunity on the bus to sit with different people and talk as we went to and from our locations. We did day trips. So one was to a couple different beaches, one of which was a nude beach. We went to Knossos, which is the big archaeological site, and that's my passion. So I was really excited to share that with the people on the trip. And on our bus ride there, I gave them a whole bunch of the history and mythology of the Minoans. So that was fun for me.
In addition to what the tour guide had told us, and you actually seemed to know more about this place with all your research for your book than the professional tour guide. So that was great.
Yeah. And it was nice to be in a teaching role again. So we went there, we walked around Heraklion, which is the kind of capital city of Crete, and we did a day trip to Chania, which is another spectacular city at the other end of the island and walked around there, had an opportunity to break off into small groups after we did our guided tour of the city. Oh, and our highlight was the hike of the Samaria Gorge. What a beautiful, beautiful place.
The experience in the Samaria Gorge sums up what I think makes Sapio Tours so special. So imagine you're on a 6-hour hike in the most beautiful, towering, natural surroundings. So that means I can spend an hour talking to this person about aspects of her life, and another 2 hours with someone else talking about their work. And again, if you're the kind of person who says, that sounds horrible, Sapio Tours probably isn't for you. But if that feels like something you've been longing for, if you think that's the kind of connection I want to make with someone I'm sexually interested in, I can tell you that the reality is better than whatever I'm expressing right now. Just so much casual connection because you're put together in a beautiful environment where sharing is the most natural thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, and let's talk about the food and wine just for a minute.
Yes.
So I brought in a private chef and they made us a few dinners and our breakfasts. I also had gone to the island before the tour started and went to some wineries and some different wine boutiques and sampled a bunch of wines. So I really love the process of selecting the perfect wine to go with each of our dinner menus. So I got to act as a bit of a sommelier for the group. So that was really fun for me. And the food was just amazing. Like the Mediterranean diet, you know, people talk about this, but it's all fresh seafood and tomatoes and salad and Greek yogurt and tons of olive oil. Anyway, it was so delicious, so healthy. And not only did we have amazing chef-prepared dinners at our villa, we also had several spectacular meals at different restaurants with smaller groups when we had those free days to kind of break off and eat with different people and share that smaller group experience. So the food is amazing.
I think one of the best ways to capture, again, I'm going to use the word magic, that went on in Crete among this group is to talk about firsts. Mm. So there were so many fantastic things that happened. We could do a 12-part series on the 7 days that we spent there. But to kind of put it in a more compressed form, there were a lot of first-time things that happened to people. Sometimes things they were hoping for, sometimes things they had no idea they even wanted. So maybe you can tell us about a couple of those.
Okay, so there was one couple that came to us in the form of a Zoom call and said that they were polyamorous. So they had never swung, they'd never had casual sex with other people or group sex together. And they were so happy in their poly relationships with other people that they were trying to decide if their marriage was worth sticking it out for. They hadn't been able to travel together in the past because they would get into so much conflict over trying to figure out an itinerary and make choices about that. So they had decided, we're not even going to travel with each other. We're just going to travel with our other partners. And when they told us this on the Zoom call, I thought, oh, wow, this is a lot of pressure. But they came and had an amazing time reconnecting with each other. And they had their first group sex experiences. So they had three different experiences. I think their first one was with us.
That sounds like us.
Yeah, I like being a sex Sherpa for people, just helping them into their first situation. So yeah, so they came back to our room. I said, I know you want to try this group sex thing. We'll be really gentle with you and we'll just do soft swap. And so we had just this lovely, almost spiritual experience where we were, you know, reaching over and touching and enjoying each other's bodies, but also giving them this kind of gentle, easy entry into what does a foursome look like and how does it feel? So they liked it so much that they had two other group experiences that week with other people.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And then we had a couple with us who were really into shibari. And if you don't know what shibari is, it's an approach to bondage that comes from Japan that is almost as artistic as it is sexual.
Mm-hmm. So they did a presentation for us one day. We had a free day where people were just having some downtime around the pool, and we decided to make it a very sensually focused day. So we started with some yoga, we did some foot massages, and then they set up their ropes on the side of the pool and did a whole demonstration where he suspended and inverted her and moved her through all kinds of different positions. And it was fascinating to watch.
It was, because it's something that unfolds over time. Like, I don't know, I lost track, but was it like a half an hour or an hour?
I don't know. It was a long time. I was getting my feet massaged at the same time, which just made it so perfect.
Yes. So one member of the audience had a very profound reaction to what she saw.
Yeah, they were brand new. First time ever doing any lifestyle thing. I think they might have gone to a club once, but they didn't play with anyone. And this was their first lifestyle trip. So they had not had any sexual encounters that I know of, but they watched this Shibari demonstration. And at the end, the woman went to our friend and said, "I'd like to be tied up. I'd like to experience that." So, you know, we kind of gave them space. I guess the massages stopped and we dispersed. And she got to have this private Shibari experience where she was also suspended. And her husband was there. He was taking pictures and video to commemorate this moment. And she said after that it was transformative for her.
Yeah, she had had serious health problems in the recent past. And I wouldn't pretend to understand the role this played in her healing, but she was very clear that it had a healing effect. In fact, she may not even have understood herself, but she was such a smart person. She was one of our professors on the trip. But seeing this unexpected reaction to an unexpected presentation was really fantastic to see.
Another first was I made an OnlyFans video in front of an audience.
Oh, that's right. You've never done that. Of course, why would you have done that? We don't sell tickets.
Right. Yeah, so it happened organically, as I prefer.
So this was with Jason, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we were in the pool and everyone was chilling. I think it was later that same day, actually.
It might have been.
It was on our chilling in the pool day. And so people were at one end drinking, hanging out, and he and I started kissing and touching. And I said, "Hey, do you want to make a quick video at the other end of the pool?" So you went and grabbed your phone. He and I went to the other end of the pool so that we wouldn't have people in the video. And I just started sucking his cock. And then I got up into this little shallow spa pool and he fucked me and we made a video in this beautiful setting. But at the other end of the pool were three couples plus his wife who had just been hanging out drinking. And at the end, they gave us a round of applause. And someone said that was one of the highlights of the trip for them, watching this video creation.
Yeah. And it's interesting because his wife's applause was probably the loudest. No one supports you having sex with Jason more than Jason's wife.
In fact, after the camera stopped rolling, she came to me and said, "Can the three of us go back to our room now? I'm so turned on. I need to have sex too."
Right.
So then we went and had a follow-up threesome in their room.
Right. And you know, we have a separate episode on our OnlyFans experience. So it was earlier this season. Take a look for it if you haven't listened to it so far. But one of the amazing things about it is not so much that someone is performing on camera with someone else for the enjoyment of people they don't know. But there are all these other dimensions to the experience. So I know I've been incredibly turned on by experiences I've had no part in, by the very fact of you making this kind of content. And now to hear that you've had an effect on another marriage that has been positive. It's just, would anyone guess that from the outside that, oh yeah, that's what happens when OnlyFans comes along. You make people's relationships better, your own and others.
Yeah. It's one of those unlooked for bonuses.
Yes.
There was another interesting first. And it was a couple who, again, was quite new to the lifestyle and they had only had a couple experiences, but one of them was negative. And we actually found out later that they had talked about stopping their whole lifestyle journey.
Oh, I remember.
But they decided to go ahead and come on this trip because they had already booked it. And I don't think they had any sexual encounters with other people throughout the week, other than a little bit of flirting, touching, maybe kissing. But we did a debrief with them afterward because we went to Paris with them at the end of the trip. And they said that they're really glad they went because it helped them to become comfortable again with the lifestyle and swinging space. They made some great social connections with people. And even though they only played with each other, it helped to strengthen their bond between the two of them and kind of reinvigorate their interest in the lifestyle. And they don't know if they want to continue to be swingers or if they want to be more poly. But what they do know is that they walked away from our trip feeling much more positive about the lifestyle than they had going into the trip.
So it's interesting. That story brings up two important dimensions of the whole Sapio Tours approach. The first is that you don't have to be a swinger to come on the trip. You do have to be open-minded. You do have to be interested in other approaches to relationships. We had people who were polyamorous, but not swingers. We had people who were swingers, but not polyamorous. We had people who were into kink and polyamory. And so that blending of different perspectives, I think, enriched the whole group. The second thing is you mentioned that we met up with this couple in Paris afterwards. And that's because you can make the Sapio Tours trip, in this case to Crete, the centerpiece of a broader European adventure. So once you've paid the money, if you're coming from North America to get over to Europe, well, now you're close to everything. So you can spend some time in Paris or London or Rome or Amsterdam. And I think that approach is going to become something that people really value about Sapio Tours trips.
Yeah. So we had such a perfect time that we've decided to go back to Crete at around the same time next year because we hit the right pocket as far as the weather. It had been cool and rainy the couple weeks before we went, and then it was very, very hot a couple weeks after. So we are going to hit that same sweet spot next year, and we're going to go back June 8th to 15th, 2024.
So if this all sounds good to people, what are the next steps?
Well, get in touch with us. So you can either click on the Contact Us button and fill in the little form on the sapiotours.com site, or you can email us directly at sapiotours@gmail.com, and we will set up a 30-minute Zoom call with you. And this is an important part of the process because we really want to make sure that we have some one-on-one interaction with each couple. Go through, you know, what our expectations are, what their expectations are, just to get a sense of what kind of people we're dealing with. It's just really about personality. We want to make sure that people are open-hearted, they're kind, they're interesting. In a small group, it's really important to make sure everybody fits well with the group dynamic.
So we went to Crete in 2023. I love that we're going back in 2024, taking that experience and building on it. But what are you thinking for the long term with Sapio Tours?
Well, I think I'd like to run two or three trips a year. I'm very close to finalizing details for the summer of 2024. So for the people who can't get away during the school year because they're teachers or have school-age kids, we're going to do a summer trip in August of 2024. So if you just cannot get to Crete in June, there will be an August 2024 option. And if we can sell these trips, we will continue to do more trips in the future.
Well, I have to say, as your husband, this has been so exciting for me. I saw your original germ of an idea come together because of your formidable research skills and your ability to reach out and communicate a vision to people. And I love being along for the ride because I think there are so many different directions this can go into. And as far as I can tell, no one else is doing this. So by all means, the Naughty Gym, Room 77, Casual Swingers, and Wanderlust Swingers PCAP events are fantastic. But for something different, I love that you're the one who stepped in and said, here is a completely novel approach to lifestyle travel. And I'm just glad that I get to be a part of it.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you're along for the ride.
So that's it for now. And thank you for joining us on the Monogamish Marriage Podcast. I love you, sweetie.
I love you too. If you like the sounds of Sapio Tours trips and would like to join us for a future trip, We have a website for that. If you go to sapiotours.com, you can find information on all our upcoming trips. The next one is going to be Crete. We are returning to Crete in June, June 8th to 15th. And we have booked 3 adjoining luxury villas. That tour did sell out in under 2 weeks, but we are currently adding people to the wait list. So if you'd still like a chance to come to Crete with us next June, sign up for the wait list. But there is another opportunity. We are going to go to Italy in August. So for all you educators out there who can only travel in the summer, this one's for you. We're going to go to Tuscany, right in the center of Italy. We have a fantastic 15th century Medici villa right outside of Pisa, and we are going to spend 7 glorious days in Tuscany. We're going to tour the Tuscan countryside. We're going to San Gimignano, to Siena, to Lucca and Pisa. We're also going to spend a day in Florence looking at the world-famous art. We're going to have a cooking lesson in our villa. We are going to have some fabulous restaurant meals out on the town, and if you'd like to spend a wonderful week in Tuscany with us, go to www.sapiotours.com and contact us.
Thanks again for listening. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye for now.